to call this meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary, could you please take the roll call?
Okay. Commissioner Jardis, the Secretary is here. Commissioner Summers.
Present.
Commissioner Estell.
Absent.
Commissioner Kobelik. Absent. Commissioner Longton.
Here.
Commissioner Pike.
Here.
Commissioner Poole.
Present.
And Commissioner Chairperson Lundy.
Here.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 are present, 2 absent.
Okay, so we have a quorum. Are there any additions or changes to tonight's agenda?
Yes, I have some. For the record, Liz Burdick, Director of Land Use and Development. Item 9A under new business is a zoning regulation text amendment to various sections that we'll discuss later in the meeting. I would like to add to that, we also added a section 4.11.14 regarding family and group child care home and child care center. So I would ask that that be added when the application is announced.
Okay. So not an additional item, but just an expansion of that item.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you made a motion?
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded by Commissioners Desjardins and Pike. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion passes. Any other additions or changes to the agenda? All right, the next item of business is approval of the minutes from November 14th, 2023.
So
the
moved.
Draft, thank
second.
You.
Second.
The draft of the minutes were distributed on December 8th. Are there any... Okay, so to approve them as drafted, first by Commissioner Longton, moved, seconded by Commissioner
Summers.
Oh my gosh, Summers. So sorry. Any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the minutes have passed. Thank you. At this time, we'll ask for remarks from the public for items not on the agenda.
Good evening, Madam Chairperson, members of the Commission. My name is Harry Heller. I'm an attorney with an office at 736 Route 32 in Uncasville. I want to make a public announcement concerning the settlement that was approved by the Commission last meeting in the matter of Richard George versus Moffitt Planning and Zoning Commission. The Superior Court will hold a hearing on January 17th, 2024 at 2 o'clock at the Superior Courthouse at 70 Huntington Street in New London to consider approval of that settlement. At that hearing, any person interested in the settlement has the right to appear before the court and inform the court why the settlement should or should not be accepted. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Heller. Are there any other remarks to items not on the agenda?
Just very briefly, Madam Chair, to the same effect. My name is John Chase. I'm an attorney with an office at 34 Church Street in Mystic, and I would like to thank Attorney Heller for making that announcement. I also represent a party, or rather several parties, in that case. It's very important for purposes of the workings of the statutory requirements that are involved when settlement of an administrative appeal before a land use agency like this takes place, that the public have an opportunity to remark upon the matter at a hearing before the Superior Court, in this case at the date and time announced by Attorney Heller. So again, I thank him for that announcement and request that the record so reflect, in other words, that the record reflect that the date and time announced by Attorney Heller are the date and time of the hearing as issued by the court and notice that all counsel in the matter have received. And again, if any members of the public are interested, they are certainly welcome.
Thank you, Attorney Chase. Would anyone else like to make any remarks to items not related to the agenda? All right. Moving on to public hearing. This evening we have a public hearing for application 23 sub 1, which is 958 Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000 in Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is the Nabar Company, Dean Fisk, for a proposed two-lot re-subdivision. This application was submitted July 26th and received August 22nd. The public hearing was opened September 26th and continued to December 12th with a 28-day extension granted. And this is the last evening for the public hearing. And as it's already opened, we do not need a motion. But Liz, could you please tell us about this application?
Yes, so the first thing I want to do is read the new exhibits into the record since the last meeting. We're on exhibit 51, town engineer comments dated 11-16-2023. Exhibit 52, town engineer comments dated 12-4-2023. Exhibit 53, access easement received 12-4-2023. Exhibit 54, town attorney comments dated 12-5-2023. Exhibit 55, revised subdivision plan dated 12-4-2023, received on 12-5-2023. Exhibit 56, town engineer comments dated 12-5-2023, and planner comments dated today 12-12-2023. So those are the new exhibits for the record. This application, as you know, this hearing was continued from the last meeting because we had DOT, revised plan committee. We were waiting for DOT's comments. We also, there was some new grading that had been shown on the last plan, and we sent that off to our town engineer for review and approval, not for grading onto the state's property, but for grading with the interior to the lots, the proposed lots. And we also had new conservation drainage driveway grading and site line easement documents that had to be reviewed by our town. So that was the reason it was continued from the last meeting. Since the last meeting, I spoke with DOT. They reviewed that revised plan, and they are okay with the revised plan. I spoke with Gary Brigham of DOT, and he said that they will give final approval for the work in the state right away, pending the filing of the sightline easement. And that easement document was reviewed prepared by the applicant's attorney, James Mealy, and reviewed by our attorney in town, Matt Willis. So that has now been addressed, and I confirm that with a phone call with Gary Brigham of DOT. All right. All the application was referred to the town engineer. All of his comments have been addressed. There were some minor plan revisions showing grading and whatnot, and the town attorney has signed off on the final revised plan. Also, our town attorney has had the opportunity to review all of those four or five easement documents. Okay, he has signed off on them. He has comments on one that I'm still working out with him, but generally, he has approved all of the easement documents. So, as far as I'm concerned, all staff comments have been addressed. DOT's comments have been addressed. I do recommend approval of this one-lot subdivision, re-subdivision at this time. I do have a list of which I can go over with you after you've taken public comment, or go over them with you now. I do have some recommended conditions of any favorable approval, however, basically with regards to some of the documents. All right.
Thank you. Does anyone have questions for Liz this time?
Just editorial, is it one lot or two lot?
It's a one lot re-subdivision, which will create one new lot. So if it was one piece of property and it was divided in half, and it was the original cut, it would be a free split. And then when you create a third lot, it's a subdivision. And then when you create two lots out of the third lot, it's a re-subdivision. So it's a one lot re-subdivision. You're creating one new lot.
Right, so 7B, correct, where it says for proposed two lot re-subdivision?
No, it should be one lot re-subdivision. So I apologize. Where was that?
7B.
7.
7B.
Oh, on the agenda.
Yes, on the agenda,
yeah,
yes.
That should be re-subdivision, yes.
Should be one lot.
One lot re-subdivision.
Thank you.
I thought we had changed that a few meetings back, so I apologize. But it is certainly, in all of my staff reports, been referenced as a one lot re-subdivision.
Okay.
I apologize.
No, thank you. Just wanted to make, thank you.
So, as this is a public hearing, I would like to, is the applicant here? Would they like to speak?
You can call for public comment, either for or against. Is a representative of the applicant that here that would like to speak? Yes.
Yeah.
Good evening. My name is James Mealy. I'm an attorney from Cheshire, Connecticut, here to represent the applicant. And we really don't have anything else to say. I think all the comments have been addressed. The plans have been revised. The documents have been revised. And I think everybody's happy with everything. Attorney Chase and his clients. So that's all we have to say.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mealy. So at this time, as it is a public hearing, I would like to invite the public to come forward to comment if they would like to do so. This time, I'll invite anyone that would like to speak in favor of the application to come forward. And now, anyone that would like to speak against the application may come forward.
Good evening again, members of the Commission, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, my name is John Chase. I'm an attorney with the professional office at 34 Church Street in Mystic. And as some of you may have noted from one or two documents in the record, I have been involved to date in this process representing the interests of Ray and Shirley Mostaway, who are abutters and former owners of the property. And in order to simply bring to a conclusion or estimation their interest in this matter, I would very much like to, on their behalf, thank the town planner, Liz Burdick, for her assistance. It was recognized at a point in time that the Mostaway's driveway encroaches in part on the property that they sold to the applicant some time ago. And I'm sure it was no one's fault. It was inadvertent that the dividing line was drawn where it was, but this was recognized. It was a problem. And thanks to the town planner's efforts, the plans have been revised in such a way that now shows, and I presume as a condition of any approval would require, that area that is now shown as easement area or driveway easement to be conveyed to Raymond and Shirley Mostaway would be, again, part of the approval if this commission is so inclined to do so. And would, in fact, resolve that issue on Mr. and Mrs. Mostaway's behalf. It's been my pleasure to help them since I've known them all my life. And so I want to make clear that from the perspective of the opposing interests that were expressed by them earlier, that is, in fact, they turned around to the point where they will, if an approval is granted, resolve that issue, or otherwise it would be resolved by other means, I'm sure. That said, I want to make clear that my comments henceforth are not on behalf of Ray and Shirley Mostaway, but as a citizen of the town and as a person of another whom I'll name, certainly there have been rumors and conclusions about what may be going on in respect to this property. I noticed at your meeting last month that attention was drawn to a document that is in the record, concerning a proposed application to the Connecticut Siting Council for a proposed solar array development of the property. And it was stated by, I believe, a member of your staff, might have been the town planner, might have been someone else, that that is something that should not be considered as part of your decision, whether or not you approve this application. As a general proposition, that was certainly a true statement and a correct one. That being said, I'm going to try and explain as well as I can as I go along so that there will be as little confusion as possible. Again, you received, addressed to you, and in your record of this proceeding, a letter from the Mashaw Law Group dated October 26, 2003. I write to you that TriTech intends to file a petition for a declaratory ruling from the Connecticut Siting Council seeking the Council's approval of the construction, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning of the above-referenced ground-mounted solar photovoltaic array. And again, as a general proposition, that's really not something that you should consider in your decision to approve this application or not. But, or as a further proposition.
Attorney Chase, I just want to interject that I should have mentioned at the beginning to please keep the comments short, so I'll just give you a few more moments.
Well, I'll try to do so, noting that it is a public hearing. And also, not to get ahead of myself, Madam Chair, I know others have business before the Commission, but the distinction or difference that...
Can I make a comment before this continues, please, for the record, Liz Burdick? If Attorney Chase is going to introduce any new documents, they have to be submitted for the record and marked as exhibits. So just as a procedural point, I want to make that. That the commission aware of that.
Okay. I tend to do so, and I appreciate that. Sure. That's why, though we, I'm sure, like to conclude this as rapidly as possible, we all just have to, you know, respect the formal requirements of the hearing process. So the first document that I would like to introduce or submit to the record, and in this case I have copies for everyone as well as what constitutes the original on top by virtue of an embossed seal. I believe I have enough for everyone. I'm going to pass this around and hand the original to...
I'll take it.
...to the town planner. The document consists of a petition for intervention of these proceedings under Section 22A19 of the General Statutes.
For the record, this will be marked as Exhibit 57. Attorney Chase, have you made a copy for the applicant's attorney of this document?
Yes, I have.
I would ask that you give that to him as well.
Thank you very much, and I apologize for neglecting to hand it over. Thank you.
Maybe we can get him to speak into the mic a little bit.
It doesn't amplify, it's just for the corner. Unfortunately. Attorney Chase, would you mind speaking up for the remaining few moments?
I certainly will do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mm. Now, it may reasonably arise in your minds, what is Section 22A19 of the Connecticut General Statutes? I don't know that this is something that this commission deals with very often. Section 22A19, which is part of the Connecticut Environmental Protection Act, states in part that in any administrative licensing or other proceeding, the agency, that's something like a planning and zoning commission or maybe a wetlands commission or any other public agency, shall consider the alleged unreasonable pollution, impairment, or destruction of the public trust in the air, water, or other natural resources of the state, and no conduct shall be authorized or approved which does or is reasonably likely to have such effect as long as considering all the relevant surrounding circumstances and factors, there is a feasible and prudent alternative consistent with the reasonable requirements of the public health, safety, and welfare. Now, one might say, what's an alternative? What's a feasible and prudent alternative to a subdivision of land and proposed residential development, albeit in this case a one lot proposal? I submit to you that feasible and prudent alternative is putatively
Attorney Chase, I'll give you just another moment.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
I'll give you just another moment to wrap up.
To be clear, Madam Chair, it is a public hearing.
It absolutely is.
And the intervener, Julie Andreg, a citizen of the state, has, by virtue of such intervention, now acquired the status of a party to these proceedings. So most respectfully, I would submit that any attempt by the Commission, respectfully, to limit the intervener's presentation would be invalid both on statutory and probably constitutional due process grounds. So respectfully, Madam Chair, I'll move along as rapidly as I can.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes.
I'd like to also make a comment, and perhaps if this public hearing could be recessed for a couple of minutes, I feel like this would be very untimely submission in that Mr. Chase has admitted on the record he's been involved since the very beginning, so he knows this is the last night that we can hold this public hearing. This is a document that Smith and I agree he should have the opportunity to read into the record, but I want to say for the record, I feel like this should have been submitted as part of this application prior to this evening. This is a last minute submission that we have no way of sending to our town attorney to review. I certainly can, get a hold of our town attorney on his cell phone. You may probably interrupt this later, but I can do that and get his advice as to how to go forward with this. I'm not saying that you don't allow him to speak, but I would certainly like Attorney Willis's counsel on this.
May I have an opportunity to address the motion, then?
Well,
respectfully, Madam Chair, if the Chair wants to take a recess, that's one thing, but until then, I give her the floor.
I think we need to wait until Attorney Chase finishes, and then you can rebut.
One thing that's missing, that he's making a statement of, that I think you need to be aware of, is he doesn't have an absolute right to intervene. He can ask to intervene, and it's up to the Commission whether or not to grant.
Attorney Mealy, you have to identify yourself for the record. I'm sure the chairperson will give you an opportunity to rebut.
To the extent that statement about permissive intervention was picked up by the microphone and is part of the record, we respectfully submit that under numerous decisions of the Connecticut Supreme Court, one would be Mystic Marine Life Aquarium versus Gill, GIL, there are others, the courts have recognized that intervention under the statute is effective. In other words, it occurs upon filing. It's not up to the Commission to decide.
And as this is an uncommon practice for my experience, I would like to call a 10-minute recess.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Amelia has stepped out, but I think that we can resume it, and I would like to speak prior to Mr. Chase speaking regarding the procedure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As a point of order, I'll allow it.
Okay. So during the recess, I reached out to a town attorney. As I stated before, Mr. Chase should be allowed to read his intervention into the record. Mr. Chase, can you also verify, do you represent Julianne? Because I don't see a representative letter in here.
There is none. As part of the petition, for the record, I do.
You do? Okay. So this petition is not signed by Attorney Chase. This petition is signed by Julianne Drake. So that was why Attorney Chase if in fact he represented her. After Mr. Chase is finished, Attorney Mealy will have the chance to rebut Mr. Chase's testimony, and then, you know, certainly Mr. Chase could, you know, rebut that, but, you know, I don't think we need to let this go on till midnight. So I'm just giving you the procedure at this time, so I would ask that you go ahead and continue to let Attorney Chase read his verified pleading into the record.
And as you mentioned, you do have an opportunity to intervene. I would just ask for your consideration when it comes to time.
Yes, I will do my best to move along as rapidly as I can out of consideration for all of you and also others who have business before the commission tonight. And so I would have provided this answer to a question that was left hanging when the break occurred, and I do note my observation for the record, and if I'm incorrect, I would encourage those involved to so indicate, but I do note my observation, my recollection, that during the recess that was called, that several members of the commission and the applicant's attorney were out in the hallway conferring, presumably off the record. Now that the intervener has the status of a party in these proceedings, such a discussion was ex parte.
I don't believe any of the commissioners were discussing with the attorney.
I don't know what was said. Mr. Miley was called out in the hallway, so I appreciate your clarification.
Yeah, I was in the hallway, and I do want to clarify, I did not see the other attorney.
Then I take that.
Thank you.
Be the fact.
Nor did I speak to any member of the commission.
Nope.
I did speak with Attorney Mealy, and only to discuss procedures going forward, which I just said on the record.
Thank you.
There was nothing else that we spoke about but that.
It's important to clarify, and I appreciate
that.
So
I'm clarifying it for the record. There's no other discussion other than the procedural that I just spoke to you about.
I take that as fact as well. Thank you.
It is.
Thank you. Now, a question was left pending, as it were, when the break was taken, and that was, in effect, why now? This has been going on for some time. Why now? And this circles back to the fact that it was just recently, since your last meeting, that the application to the Connecticut Siting Council that was alluded to as a potential future occurrence in the document in your record that I referred to earlier has in fact now taken place. And I would therefore like to submit a couple of things. Bear with me just for a second here. Now, I'll be very clear. This came about quickly. The petition is dated today, as you'll see. I have just one copy of this document. I'm going to hand it to the town planner for the record. I trust that Attorney Miley is familiar with it. I trust the applicant is familiar with it, and it will be available for all of you. But this is the summary statement of a submission to the Connecticut Siting Council involving the proposed development, the location, construction, operation, maintenance, and decommissioning of a solar voltaic array facility with a capacity of 0.999 megawatts, alternating current and associated equipment at the site in question.
Okay.
Again,
I'm going to mark that as Exhibit 59. If you have not made a copy for the applicant, I'm going to ask my staff to go into to leave the meeting and make copies for how many pages is it? I think the applicant should have the chance to read it.
I think that's absolutely correct, Madam Chair. I apologize.
Not the chairman, I'm the director.
Chairperson
is Sarah Lundy, but I'm going to ask that one of my staff people make copies of that so that the applicant can have a copy and at least one for the chairman, and I need one for the record.
Agreed, and I'm handing it off to your staff.
Thank you. Stacey, can you bring this received stamp back with you also, please? Thank you.
And for for further purposes of demonstrating what it is that's being discussed, I have some additional documents. I have one copy for Attorney Miley, one copy for the record, unfortunately, one copy of a set of plans that I'm sure the commission can pass along and take a look at and review subsequently to the extent necessary. And
Attorney Chase, would you kindly, the last document, would you clearly identify what the document is, please?
Yes.
That's Exhibit 59.
Yes, I take it to be an introduction or summary statement in connection with a now-pending application to the Connecticut Siting Council in connection with the proposed development of a solar array at the property for which a one-lot residential subdivision is now proposed before the commission and pending before you. This map constitutes Appendix B to that application to the Connecticut Siting Council entitled Site Plans.
It's a document.
It is dated. That's a very good question. I'll see if I can find a date, perhaps on the second page. On the second page of the document, there's a date, March 2023. There may be other dates on other pages. However, I will state for the record that these appeared recently on the Siting Council's website, certainly only subsequent to the filing of the application that had not been filed at the time of your last meeting.
Which application are we talking about? This application?
This application.
Okay.
Well, to be clear, what your question?
You said the plans were filed subsequent to the application.
Subsequent to the petition to the Siting Council that was filed, or as part of the petition to the Siting Council, as the case may be, that was filed subsequent to the last meeting of this commission upon the application that's presently before you.
So let me be clear. The plans were filed with the petition, which was filed after the last meeting of this commission. Is that what you're saying?
The plans could not have been filed before the filing of the petition. I do not know if they were filed at the same time as the filing of that petition or perhaps subsequently. I really have no way of determining that from the Siting Council website. I don't think it's a matter that makes a lot of difference, except that it occurred subsequent to the last meeting of this commission.
I'm going to identify it as the map that he's saying is Appendix B to the Siting Council petition, and I will review the maps and put the date for the record.
Sure thing. And I have a copy for the record. I have a copy that I'll pass to the commission to take a look at. And I have a copy for Attorney Miley as well. And I would, however, before I do that, I would point out that for the commission's benefit, the members' benefit, that within this package of plans, there are several that perhaps the first one seems vaguely similar or roughly similar to some of the plans that have been filed already before this commission, boundary surveys and so forth. But the irrelevant part, I think it's on the third page, the solar array is depicted, the proposed solar array is depicted, and then on subsequent pages, it's shown to even larger scale and in greater detail. Somewhere in the middle of the southern part of this solar array is the proposed single-family residence that's shown on the application materials that's before you now. In the application that's before you now. But I'm going to hand this first a copy of the commission numbers, then the original to the town planner, the director of planning, and then a copy for the record to Attorney Miley.
Thank you.
Attorney Chase, does that conclude your commentary?
It does not, but again, proceeding as rapidly as I can, I now intend to simply put some documents into the record. I don't feel there's a great deal of need for further explanation, and leave it to the Commission to resolve them in the available time for it to make its decision, because after all, the public hearing is closing tonight. There is still a subsequent period within which the Commission must act.
No, we
did not do so tonight.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
The closing hearing, I believe, Madam Planner, as a matter of law, has to occur tonight based on extensions.
Correct.
Yep. There are plans in the record, I think, with respect, I don't mean to be facetious, but they're on probably, the applicant is probably on revision, maybe five or six or so of the plans that are before this commission. I draw your attention to those plans, including specifically the most recent revisions. I draw your attention to the drainage contours, the soil contour lines, the water courses, or rather drainage patterns shown on those maps and applications to the extent they are or are not. I draw your attention to adjacent properties that are shown on the map, though not necessarily called out. Draw your attention in particular to the property located directly across Route 163, also formerly a part of the Mustaway Farm, is now owned by the town. The generosity of Mr. and Mrs. Mustaway making it available a few years ago. And for the record, again, a copy for the commission, a copy for Attorney Miley, several copies for the commission, actually, as well as originals for the record, or an original from the record. I have a document recorded on the land records. It's a resolution of the Montville Town Council. To summarize, dedicate permanently as public open space the land directly across the road from this property in question, into which, as you can see, I believe in part from maps and drawings that are before you, that drainage occurs. There is on the land now owned by the town across the street, there's ponds, streams, other areas that are affected by the drainage of water, the drainage of runoff from the property that's the subject of this application. It's clear to see from the representations on the plans what those drainage patterns are. Here are some copies for the commission, an original for the record, and a copy for the attorney.
Liz, do you need clarification on the exhibit?
Yeah, I want clarification on, I would like to clarify this would be exhibit 61, and could you please state the title of that document for the record?
It doesn't have a title. It's, except to say that it is volume 673, page 785 of the Montville Land Records. It's a recording of a resolution of the Montville Town Council. For clarity, the property directly across the street has been dedicated perpetually as public open space.
So there's a resolution number attached to that.
The title is the resolution, and there should be a resolution number on it. If you'll give it to me, I'll state it.
I can do that.
I can state it.
I was on the council when we did that. There's a resolution number for that. No, I was on the council.
Okay. I couldn't remember the materials. Thanks.
Yep.
I would bring you the copy to the community.
I'm on my way to do that.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Chuck, you want this copy? So I'm going to identify for the record exhibit 61 is a copy of a resolution. The Montville Town Council dated August 9th, 2021, that's recorded on Montville Land Records Book 673, page 785, which was recorded on August 17th, 2021.
Now,
no, I get it.
Despite what the reactions of some of you may be to that extensive solar array depicted on the property that is currently before you for permission for something altogether different, or for license to do something altogether different, I would point out that the plans that have been passed around in connection with the Siting Council petition have much to recommend them. One notes, for example, regard for the history and environment of the surrounding area as reflected therein. For example, there's notes on the maps themselves that point to the historic former Mustaway farmhouse, once occupied by a revolutionary soldier, Colonel Mulford Raymond. The notes on the map before the Siting Council state that those historic buildings will be retained and preserved, or maintained and preserved, I may be paraphrasing slightly. The plans that are being passed also show an extensive, well, it's an area that's clearly an excavation at the southerly area of the proposed solar array. We refer to these as by different names. We used to call them detention basins, retention basins. Now they're called water quality basins. These are designed to have the effect of allowing the settling out of runoff water from property that's developed, and to allow those settlements to settle and not to be forced along by natural flow into adjacent areas. You know, like for example, the area across the street.
We're familiar.
Yeah. You see them, I'm sure, in many of your applications. And to summarize, I'd point out that as the statute under which this intervention has occurred, 22A19, points out, that once there's been a prima facie case made that the proposed activity, in this case the application that's before you, is likely to have an unreasonable or a reasonable likelihood of an unreasonably adverse impact on the environment and natural resources. That's a paraphrase, but I read it in the statutory form earlier in the proceeding. That the commission, therefore, under that circumstance, becomes powerless to approve the application if there is a feasible and prudent alternative. And I submit to you that the applicant here, by virtue of a submission on his behalf to the Connecticut Siting Council for the proposed solar array that includes extensive mitigation measures with respect to the offflow of water onto adjacent properties, including flow as shown on the plans under the road and onto the adjacent public open space land, that the preservation of historic structures as assured, we take to be true the representations on the plan, that is to be the case, that these offer, first of all, a very fairly obvious alternative to the proposed development before this commission, and one that is not only feasible and prudent on its face in view of those measures and similar ones with respect to the environment and natural resources, but also something that for which I think it may be reasonably concluded that the feasibility of which is admitted by the applicant. They filed that application to the Siting Council. Now, it would have been nice if they told you about that. It would have been helpful for my position tonight if I had known about that, but none of us knew about that last month. There were some rumors floated around and so forth. So, and that's really all. So what I would propose is on the face of the intervention petition, the documents that are presented in connection with it, some of which are documents right off of the Connecticut Siting Council website, where they may be viewed along with others by anyone, any member of the public, that is to say,
that such documents before you and evidence already in the record demonstrate that there is a feasible and prudent alternative to the application that is before you. And so I respectfully ask you on behalf of the intervener tonight, not on behalf of the Mustaways, I'm very clear I'm representing several parties in regard to this matter, I would ask that the application be denied. The applicant may then proceed to pursue his desires before the Connecticut State Siting Council, and good luck to him there. That by so doing, the commission will assure and will assure, be able to assure the public that the lesser measures, the lesser, the absence of a significant water quality or retention basin as proposed on the siting plans, the absence of assurance for the preservation of historic structures, you know, in fact, be part of the future of this property. Again, respectfully, that's really about all I have to say. I thank you for your time and patience. I know this is something that doesn't always come before you in this form. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Attorney Chase.
You're welcome.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to extend the offer for anyone else that is against the application to come forward and speak.
Clarify before you do that. Yes. Attorney Chase, did you want to read this intervention pleading into the
record? Oh, I see no reason to read it into the record.
I just want to clarify that for the record.
Sure, I appreciate your asking, but there's no need. It's part of the record in its whole, I think, as things stand now. Thank you very much.
Okay. So again, if anyone else would like to come forward and speak against the application, please feel free to do so at this time. Would anyone like to speak in favor of the application? As a reminder, for these proceedings, we ask three times for, three times against, so everyone will have an opportunity.
So what she has to announce this first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the record, James Mealy, representing the applicant. I'd just like to respond to the motion to intervene, or the intervention by the Attorney Chase has filed. There are a number of inaccuracies that I need to point out. One is he has said a number of times that the applicant has a petition pending before the Connecticut Siting Council. It doesn't. If you look at the documents that Attorney Chase himself put into evidence, you'll see that the application before the Siting Council is by Tritech Americas LLC, not by the applicant. What the applicant has is an application, as it's been made very clear tonight, for a one-lot re-subdivision of this property. Attorney Chase, in his intervention, states that activities permitted by an approval of this application could lead to a number of general allegations. He has their destruction of the environment. But in fact, what this application could lead to is the right to record a subdivision map. That's it. Connecticut General Statutes 22A19. Attorney Chase says he has the automatic right to intervene. I'm sure there's case law to that effect, and I believe the town attorney probably agrees with them. But I would point out that section 2 of that statute states that the verified petition must include specific factual allegations setting forth the nature of the alleged unreasonable pollution, impairment, or destruction of the public trust in air, water, or other natural resources. This petition contains nothing to that effect. They're all general allegations. So the petition doesn't meet the requirements of the statute, and I think the commission should deny it, the intervention, but I understand you'll make your own decision about that. But to address what allegations there might be in this petition, to the extent there are any, I'd like to call our engineer to address that. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Neely.
For the record, my name is Casey Birch. I work for Soli Engineering, project engineer. I do want to state that this one-lot re-subdivision and any potential development associated with it, in this case it is a house, will not produce any unreasonable pollution. It will not create impairments or destruction of any public trust in air, water, or other natural resources in the state or even in the town. Thank you.
Thank you. So I will make one last... I'm sorry. This is the second time asking for anyone that would like to speak against the application.
Madam Chair, John Chase again, and just to, clarify or illuminate a point, and I'm not sure if it was Attorney Miley's intention to deny that an application, as I've discussed and alleged, has been filed with Connecticut State Siting Council, but to the extent that is the import or the takeaway from on part of the commission members from his last statement, I present to you a document. It's only one copy. I'm afraid copies happen to be with the staff. Yeah. But this also comes from the Siting Council website, and it is the schedule that the council puts out for the processing and determination of the petition that has been there filed. Petition received 11/14/23, public comment period deadline 12/14, deadline for action 1/13/24, deadline for decision 5/12/24. And as a final comment again, in rebuttal to the comments about there being no evidence of proposed harm to the environment, you have your plans in front of you. You have the plans in front of you, the applicant's revised plans, showing extensive excavations, driveway excavations at the south end of the site and so forth, all in an area where the land, again, according to those maps, flows downhill into wetlands, flows across the street into the town-owned open space property. And this is the same area, the same runoff, the same water flow that in the application or the petition before the Siting Council, extensive remediation measures are shown. Again, a water quality basin of significant size, by whatever term one would want to call it. So again, thank you very much. I'm passing.
I'm going to ask that you give this to me. I will tag this Exhibit 62 for the record. Please give it to me, and then I will ask my staff to make copies.
I will do that for the record. It's entitled Schedule, and it is on the letterhead of the State of Connecticut site.
Right. I'm just going to verify that for the record. So this is another document identified by Attorney Chase. It's going to be identified as Exhibit 62, received this evening during the public hearing. It states the following. Schedule. Petition number 1601, Tritech Americas LLC, notice of election to waive exclusion from Connecticut Siting Council jurisdiction pursuant to Connecticut General Statute 16-50K E, and petition for declaratory ruling pursuant to Connecticut General Statutes subsection 4-176 and subsection 16-50K. Proposed construction, maintenance, and operation of a 0.999 megawatt AC solar photovoltaic electric generating facility located at 958 Route 163, Montville, Connecticut, and associated electrical interconnection. Excuse me. Petition received 11/14/2023. Public comment period deadline 12/14/2023. Deadline for action 1/13/2024. And deadline for decision 5/12/2024. And again, I'm going to mark that as Exhibit 62 received this evening. I'm going to ask staff to make copies for the commission for Attorney Neely and a copy for Attorney Chase. I'll put the original in the file.
Okay. At this time, I'd like to make the final call for anyone that would like to comment in favor of the application. And the final call for anyone that would like to speak against the application. Okay, at this time, I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, back.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? The motion passes and the public hearing is closed. Thank you, everyone. We will now move on to item, 7B, which is discussion and decision of this application 23 sub 1-958 Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut owner applicant, the Navar Company, Dean Fisk, for a proposed one lot re-subdivision.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we postpone the decision on the public hearing 7A and to a date to be determined.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes. This is, in my opinion, very sloppy by everybody involved here. There are professionals involved in this room. We are a planning commission that's listening to last-minute Hail Marys, discussions, lawyers talking to lawyers, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. So it's disappointing. We take our job very seriously, and that's one of the reasons why I support the postponement to allow the land director and her staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission to take a harder look at this.
Thank you, Commissioner Pike.
May I make a suggestion also? I mean, you're going to go around. I would actually ask that I would put a date down for your next regular meeting. You can postpone it again, but.
Thank you.
I would suggest not just a date to be determined, but to your regular meeting in January.
Can you remind me of the date of the regular meeting?
It's at the end of January.
24th, I think.
January, I have the 23rd. Is that correct, Meredith?
Yes.
January 23rd, 2024. So I agree with you. I just feel like there should be a date. Our next meeting is the 23rd.
Commissioner Lompkin, would you like to amend the motion?
Yes, Madam Chair, I will amend the motion from a date to be determined to January 23rd, 2024.
Thank you. Commissioner Pike, would you like to second again?
I'll second that, yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion has been postponed until our regular meeting on
Madam
January
Chair?
23rd. Yes.
That vote was to accept the
amended. Yes.
Amendment.
Thank you, Commissioner Longton.
So we
made a motion to change the motion.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
Now we'll vote on the motion.
On the modified motion.
The modified motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? Thank you. All right, moving on to the next item on our agenda, which is old business. Item 8A, it's 23 site 9 125 Depot Road, parcel ID 071-007-000 in August Hill, Connecticut. The applicant is KKSH2 LLC on behalf of Marine Materials Management Limited Owner, Uncasville LLC, Gateway Mottville LLC, Lessee. The agent is attorney Harry Heller for a site plan / coastal site plan review for Marine Materials Management Transloading Facility at existing Gateway Terminal. This was submitted September 13th, 2023 and received on September 26th. The original decision required by date was November 30th, 2023. However, it was tabled from the November 14th meeting with a 28-day extension of time to make the decision. And the new decision required by date is December 12th, 2023. Liz, what should we know?
Madam Chairperson, our attorney Heller's here, so I'm going to defer. Would you like to speak? This application was withdrawn.
It's been withdrawn.
It's been withdrawn on 12/11, so no further commission action is needed.
Oh, well, so much for that.
The applicant is still working out details with the state of Connecticut Solid Waste Division. So at this time, the application is withdrawn, and there's nothing you need to do.
Okay, thank you. The next item is 23 sub 2, Old Colchester Road, parcel ID 037-006-000, Oakdale, Connecticut. The owner applicant is Watch Hill Builders, LLC, for a proposed 6-lot subdivision. This was approved with conditions on September 26, 2023, with an original deadline to file the subdivision Mylar plans December 24th. There has been a request for a 90-day extension of time to file Mylar plans. Liz, is the applicant here?
The applicant's attorney here, Attorney Heller, I did receive a letter on December 4th, 2023, from Attorney Harry Heller, Heller McCoy, addressed to the not Town of Montville, Montville Planning and Zoning Commission, care of my department. On behalf of Watch Hill Builders, we hereby request that the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission grant a 90-day extension of the time period within which the above-referenced applicant is required to file the endorsed filers for the Pine Grove subdivision in the Montville Land Records. This request is made pursuant to the authority granted in Section 8.25 of the Connecticut General Statutes. The request for extension is submitted due to the fact that the applicant requires additional time to satisfy the conditions of approval enunciated by the Montville Planning and Zoning Commission in its Certificate of Notice of Decision dated September 26, 2023. Request is hereby made that you place this matter on the agenda of the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission for its regularly scheduled meeting of December 12, 2023 for action. Should you have any questions, please feel free to contact the undersigned. Very truly yours, Harry B. Heller. This is applicants and subdivisions are allowed to request up to two 90-day extensions of time for filing milers. This is the first one, and it's so that the applicant can continue to meet the conditions of approval of this commission. I would recommend granting that
Attorney Heller, is there anything you'd like to add, Attorney Heller?
No, for the record, Harry Heller representing Watch Hill Builders, LLC. The monuments and pins aren't set yet. That was one of the conditions of approval. The survey is supposed to be out there this month, but with the December 24th outlaw date, we were getting close, so we've asked for the extension.
Okay. Thank you. Would anyone like to make a motion to extend to grant the extension?
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we grant the 90-day extension requested.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second the motion.
First and seconded by Commissioners Longton and Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? The motion passes. Thank you very much.
Happy holidays,
sir. Thank you.
And happy Hanukkah.
Moving on to new business, item 9A, it's 23ZC4, Zoning Regulation Text Amendment to amend Sections 1.3, 4.2.7, 6.2.6, 7.2.5, 8.2.8, 9.2.6, 9B.2.4, 10.2.6, 11.2.5, 12.2.15, and delete sections 5.3.3, 6.3.3, 7.3.3, 8.3.1, 9.3.1 regarding family and group child care, home and child care center. We are also adding the addition of 4.11.14. The applicant is the Town of Montville Planning and Zoning Commission. The date received is December 4th, 2023. There is no decision required by date, and the application is to set a public hearing for our next regular meeting on January 23rd. Liz, could you tell us a little bit about these text amendments?
Yes. So Public Act 23-142 that was passed, I think it went into effect July 1st of this year, 2023. The Act states, and this is in accordance with Section 8-3 of the statute, is repealed, and the following is substituted in lieu thereof. So it states that no zoning regulation shall treat any family child care home or group child care home located in a residence licensed by the Office of Early Childhood pursuant to Section 17B-733, Chapter 368A, in a manner different from any single or multi family dwellings. And then it speaks no later than December 1st. The municipality shall submit them to the Office of Policy and Management. A sworn statement from the Chief Executive Officer that the municipality's zoning ordinances are in compliance or that you are updating them. I'm not going to read the whole thing. So that letter actually was submitted. It was drafted and was submitted to Martin Heff, the Undersecretary of the Office of Policy and Management, and that letter was sent to all the towns September 12, 2023, and on November 14, 2023, Mayor Leonard Bunnell submitted a letter to Mr. Heff stating, I am notifying you the town of Montville zoning ordinance and regulations are not in compliance with Public Act 23-142 for calendar year 2023. I anticipate that the town of Montville zoning ordinances and regulations will be brought into compliance with these requirements by April 1st, 2024. So that letter was sent to the Office of Policy and Management. So currently our regulations, you know, and I asked Barry to put this together, she did a good job. Basically, what the Public Act says is that we can't require a special permit for these types of daycare facilities. And we, in fact, do in many of our zoning regulation sections. So all of the sections, and we have a copy section 1-3 definitions. All of these, in other words, R88 district, we used to allow a nursery school and daycare facility for more than 6 children by special permit. That can no longer happen. So that section has been deleted, and that use has been allowed as a permitted use in the R8 zone. And you can read through all of these. We sent this to Attorney Willis to review, and he added actually that one section 4.11.4. And that's in our sort of catch-all, because, you know, when we talked to Attorney Heller, we said, well, what about a non-conforming house in a commercial zone? Or what about apartments above commercial facilities? Or what about Niaza, where you can have any number of multifamily? So the regulations were changed accordingly, but he added 4.11.14, family child care home or group child care home. A family child care home or group child care home located in a residence is permitted, period. And that sort of is a catch-all for any other zone that might allow a single-family residence or an apartment. So that was the only thing that was added since this application was put together by Meredith. She did a great job. So I would ask that, in accordance with the Public Act, the Commission received this application and set it for public hearing for January 23rd, 2024.
Okay, thank you, Liz. Any questions? Okay, would anyone like to make a motion to set a public hearing?
I make a motion that we set a public hearing for January 23rd, 2024 for this matter.
So moved.
Okay. First and seconded by Commissioner Longton and Commissioner Desjardins. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstaining? All right, the motion passes and a public hearing has been set for January 23rd. The next item on the agenda is 22 Site 3, which is 612 Route 82, parcel ID 058-009-00A, Oakdale, Connecticut. The applicant is Oakdale Food Stop. The owner is Lee Miltz Petroleum, Inc. This was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission on May 24th, 2022. There's been a request for a reduction of soil erosion and sediment control bond from $9,400 to $3,000, and this is something that has to come before the commission.
Right. Well, may I speak?
Yes.
We can require soil erosion and sediment control bonds as part of commercial development commercial site plans. In this case, the applicant wanted their bond back, okay? And the staff did not feel, our department staff did not feel that the site was as vegetated permanently as it can be. However, we felt that a reduction to $3,000 should. There wasn't that much that wasn't, but there was still areas that were not permanently stabilized with vegetative cover. So we advised the applicant, we had asked the commission to reduce the bond from $9,400 to $3,000, and we would hold that $3,000 bond until the site was completely stabilized. Now, normally we just make that determination and give a letter and the bond is released, but in this case, because it's a reduction, in abundance of caution, I brought this to the commission. You're the ones who set the bond amount. Our department staff are the ones that go out and inspect and write a release once the site's stabilized. It's not completely out, so we're asking for you to make a motion for bond reduction. What will happen is the finance department will go with the applicant to the bank, and they will allow them, because we require passbook balance, they will allow them to withdraw $6,400 and have $3,000 remain.
Thank you. Any questions for Liz?
How long is this expected to take?
No, I know where it is.
For them to finish the work necessary to get their $3,000 back?
Well, they've done the work, but what work they didn't really take because they did it a little bit later in the season. I don't think they brought in sufficient topsoil. The hope is that it will be permanently stabilized by summer of next year.
Why don't we hold them out till then?
As long as it takes. If it doesn't get done and it has to be done, then the Planning and Zoning Commission can call the bond so that we can stabilize, the town can stabilize the site itself. Yep. But I believe it'll be addressed by next year because they want their bond back.
Yeah.
Well, they want all of it.
There's incentive for them to finish it.
Should we have to call the bond? Is $3,000 sufficient?
Yes. Okay. It's a little bit of topsoil and some seed that never got. They didn't bring in good soil, so when they put seed down, it just didn't grow.
Has we been through this with any other applicant in the past 10 years you know of?
I think Stacy Radford actually found something that I did back in somewhere between 16 and 18.
We reduced the bond.
And I've done this before with other projects. So typically we just release it because it's done, but in this case it's reduced. So
it's a common practice.
Common practice to do it right the first time.
It is common. Well, yeah, but that's not always common practice.
Well, with the bond, depends, you get money back and use that money to.
Depends on your standards.
I want to.
Any other questions for Liz? Okay. I'll entertain a motion to approve the reduction of the bond.
Madam Chair, I make a motion that we approve the reduction of the bond.
Okay.
Second.
From 9,400 to 3,000.
Okay. First and seconded by
Second.
Commissioners Longton and Poole.
No.
Longton and Summers. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstaining? Okay, the motion passes. Next item on the agenda under new business is a commission discussion of the 2022 Montville Plan of Conservation and Development action items. This is something that we requested for staff to put on the agenda for this evening, just to sort of do a wrap-up of 2022 and see what how we're going towards our action items for the Plan of Conservation and Development. So you can take it away.
Thank you, Chairperson Lindsay. Just to let you know, Barry, this is the goal, actions, implementation, responsible communities, and priority table from the back of the Plan of Conservation and Development that was approved by this commission in 2022. I'm not going to tell you everything's been done because, as you know, our department was short-staffed for...
It's going to be short-staffed.
A year and a half. So, we did do something. So what Meredith did was she took this matrix, and she put in progress or needs to be implemented. So there's some things here that are in progress. There's some that need to be implemented. Now, the Plan of Conservation and Development puts a number for priority. What Meredith did here was she put it in order of priority. So the original matrix may say priority one, and then priority two and priority one again. So if you look at like the third page, things that are need to be done, she's listing them by priority one, 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 two, two, and three. Okay. A lot of these were carried over from the 2012 EOC. So things that are in progress: preserve the conservational church at Meeting House Lane. Action was form of 401 trust to ensure perpetual preservation of the building, implementation of historic preservation, responsible entities, town council, and the historic society, and it was priority three. I can tell you that trust has not been formed, but I can tell you that the council in 2023 discussed first fixing the building and then discussed selling the building to a private entity that wanted to put a church there, and then that fell through. So now it's approached me about putting an application in. There's an application with grant funding from the State Historic Preservation Office to do a deeds assessment, and that application will be submitted, and hopefully the town will get the money, and then what will happen is a professional will come in and do a whole needs assessment as to what needs to be done and how much it's going to cost. I can tell you there's bats. I know this is the bats in the belfry, but they're up there.
You're talking about the old Congregational Church, right?
Right, right. The one up on Meeting House Lane. Yep. So it's full of bats. I know that the cost was something outrageous. Yeah. Get the bats out. And then there's a system where, you know, they can get out, but then they can't get back in. Public Works Director would have to, you know, talk about that a little bit more. So that was the first thing that needs to be done. And, you know, the list goes on from there. The building is so old. Now, if in fact you get, the town gets any funding from the state or federal money, then it has to go through different approval processes. That it's its own money, they can do whatever they want with it. Right? It's on the town's historic building list. It is not, well, no, it might be, yeah, on the state historic preservation list. So first thing to do is get a needs assessment, find out how much it's going to cost to, you know, fix it up and be able to use it. Understand, too, that for that, because there's no septic system to fill water. I know that the Boy Scouts had approached the town council about using it for their meetings. The library had approached the town council about using it. Right now, the building's not safe to be inhabited. So only if the town puts money into this will it be able to. I suppose, you know, the town could tear it down. I'm throwing it out there. That's not the direction that I see happening right now, but it could.
I think if it's on the Federal Register, we can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's on the Federal Register. I'm going to be honest about that. Unfortunately, Matt Willis, I mean, I have a whole book with all the information in it, and Matt Willis borrowed it from me. He didn't bring it back yet. So I asked him the other day to please bring it back. So
I'd love for it not to be on the Federal Register and get rid of it.
I got to tell you, I'm not. I have a list, and I know exactly. I have a memo that I did about what it is, but I don't have it in front of me, so I'm sorry. I have a book list, and what's on the, you know, what's on the state historic preservation list, what's on the national register property.
I need to find out, because I got the book for all the buildings that
I have that too.
But also on Wikipedia, if you look, it tells everything that's under recreation, what's on the list for every town.
Yes. We have a book for every Montville structure that is identified as a historic property, but that may not be on the historic preservation office's list of historic properties. So I just wanted to give you that little information.
Liz, I'm sorry to interrupt. In the interest of time.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No. You've done so much work on this. We can review it on our own.
Yeah, so why however, review it I would at like, the next meeting?
Well, I'd like to ask you if there are any highlights that you want to tell us about.
Sure, the town document mission here. Big highlight. Okay, big highlight. Yes, Planning Department, Public Works, County Engineer, Town Council. Moxley Road Bridge over Sandy Brook. That was done this year, too. Big highlight. Yeah, there's other things in here, but Steep Grant for Fair Oaks Community Center. They're still working on the project. I'm going to say that, but the Steep Grant was closed out. So the money that the town got from the state was closed out. They're still working on the bathrooms. Apparently, they came in like 800 times over budget, and they're trying to find the money. I'm exaggerating. Just for the record.
I see some on page number 2 on recreation and open space about construction of fishing dock at Schofield Pond.
I have no idea what's going on with that. I think the town council had some discussion in 22 or 23. I recall someone asking me about it, but I have no idea.
Yeah,
there's nothing new that I know of. I think it's private property.
Yeah, yeah, a long time ago when I was a kid. Yeah. They little, used to be a little swimming pond right there. Oh, the pond's still there.
All right, any other questions for Liz? All right, if once you've reviewed this and you do have questions, we can certainly discuss at the next meeting.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you can go home.
Okay, thank you very much for preparing this for us.
Thank Meredith, she did it.
Thank you, Meredith.
You're welcome.
Speaking of Meredith, our CEO report is next. Oh, Stacy, that's right. That's right. Speaking of Stacy.
So the zoning wetlands report for the period of November 15th, 2023 to December 12th of 2023, there were a total of 193 use reads. Zoning permits that were open at the beginning of the reporting period were 335. Certificates of zoning compliance with field inspections, with closed permits for 27, total field inspections for 17, 15 zoning permits were issued, 14 have been approved, one is still pending. Zoning permits currently open is a total of 323. Zoning complaints, new complaints or enforcement actions are two. Zoning complaints that are ongoing are 14. Zoning complaints that were closed were 3. Wetlands complaints total 3. And inland wetlands applications, a total of 6. 2 had been approved, 1 was tabled, 1 was withdrawn, and 2 are new. Mm. And there are no ZBA applications.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Stacy? All right, thank you. Great job. All right, land use director report, please.
Okay, well, you know, I want to say, first of all, you probably all heard that I am actually going to be leaving the town of Montville. I'm not
picking us to the curb.
I'm accepted position with the Southeastern Connecticut Council of Governments as its director of municipal services.
Ooh.
I'm hoping my head will just hurt a little less. No, I'm just kidding. you know, the COG represents the town of Montville, and I have let the mayor know that I'd be happy to help wherever I can after my departure. So just to let you know, it was a really good opportunity. It was once in a lifetime. If I didn't take it, I would have never got another shot at that type of position. Well, it's a regional planner position, so it's sort of the next step in my career, and I'm really excited about it. I'm very sad. I got to tell you, I love you guys. You know, you make my month, right? Especially you guys. No, all of you. And, you know, I said this to the town council. I feel super, super lucky, and I say this with all honesty, to come back here and work with the director. As the director, I think I've accomplished a lot in short 2 years that I've been here. We have a department staff now. I have 3 excellent, hardworking staff people that are well trained, and you know that's a really good thing. We work as a team in that department. We have meetings every week. Sometimes we have impromptu meetings. I meet with the public works director and the town engineer once a week. Things are going really well. And Stacy's very busy now because now that we have full staff, she actually has to go, you know, out in the field more. Or she can go out in the field more. She's able to do now her job. Whereas before Megan came, is she still here? Before Megan came, Stacy was carrying the load for both positions. Before Stacy came, Meredith was carrying the load for 2 positions. We've both been carrying the load for all the positions for a long time, so I'm very pleased to have this new staff, and I think the town is lucky to have them. So, that being said, as far as projects go, well, I've been working on a one-lot re-subdivision since July.
Yeah.
and I'm joking here, but the fishing pier, the town hired Grace Engineering to do the geotechnical work for the fishing pier, so in actuality, that project is started. Now, they haven't actually started. They were supposed to start at the beginning of December, but they're delayed, but there is going to be work that's going to start towards the end of this month. There'll be work is going to be done landward and in the water. Also, Eversource has to be on site for this work because water and gas lines run across the river in that location, and that would be very bad. If in fact, you know, any of those were damaged, that would be a big oops. Eversource staff will be on, representatives will be on site to manage that project along with RACE. Once RACE is done, then the town engineer, Kyle Haber, who's been working closely with me on this, can put together an RFP and put the project out to bid for construction. My hope is there's, I hope, of course, there's state agencies and federal agencies involved, Army Corps, Dean. My hope is that construction will start no later than next fall. I'm crossing my fingers. The boat launch will have to be shut down for that period of time, but I think when it's done, you're going to have to stay there. Beautiful, beautiful. There's going to be benches. There's parking. There's, you know, landscaping, and the pier is going to be beautiful, and town was really lucky to get that brand. I think that was Marcia looking from above, yep, saying, I think she dropped it in her lap. That's what I said. Also, the animal shelter, we did, that went out to bid. Bids were opened last Thursday. The bids ranged from $2,131,986 to $3,366,000. Now, we don't have all of the funding for that yet. There's a couple of funding opportunities we're working on right now, including a grant that the mayor and I have been working on this week to submit for Friday. My hopes is we can, that grant will approve for the funding for it. There's a lot of work that went into this project. Different than 2018, when this first came up, there was a committee. I can't find any records for the committee or files, but there was a committee to discuss it. That was conceptual. That $800,000 was sort of a conceptual estimate from our town engineer. But Silver and Petrocelli, this RFP, and you can go online and click on it and bids, hundreds of pages long. So we have complete specs that are ADA compliant, that comply with the Department of Agriculture regulations, and that was money well spent in the town. You have, now you have that RFP out there. If there's no funding, obviously it can't be awarded at this time, but I don't give up ever. And when I'm at Cobb, you know that I'm going to be looking for funding for the town, for, you know, everywhere I can see for this. I would say never give up on it. It's a good project, and I think it's, you know, really good for the town. So that's where that is. So that was a good thing. The RFP's done. So the town knows in a range how much it's actually going to cost versus what the Silver and Petrocelli thought it would cost. So the process here, I'll be very quick because I know everybody wants to get out of here and I'm tired too. The bids, the bottom three bids are sent to our consultant. The difference between the bottom and the second is $500,000.
Wow.
So that immediately kind of gave me pause, wire, the lowest and the second lowest off by $500,000. What Silver Petrocelli does is they already have reached out to the lowest bidder who hasn't called them back yet for some reason. They'll go over the entire contract, make sure they're not missing something, and he will vet their references. He will vet all of these bids. Because that one was off by so much, I sent him the lowest three bids. He'll vet the next two of them as well, and then they will make recommendations to the town. I don't know. That's, I don't even know what to say. This meeting tonight, that was... some unexpected stuff there. So thank you for being patient while I called the town attorney. And that's all we got. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'm not going far. I'm just going to be up the street at the pub.
Yeah, I know. Connecticut Avenue, right?
I'm sorry, Connecticut Avenue.
Yeah, yes. I know where that is.
Yes. And maybe you'll see me around for special projects. I don't know. You got to ask the mayor about that. He's not paying attention, though.
Thank you, Liz.
The chat in the back.
Did you guys ever get a car?
Sorry, what? Yes, what? We did. A car? Yeah. Our other car was from 2005, I think.
That's still good.
And it was rusting. It was like falling apart.
That's nothing.
It didn't have many miles on it, but it was, you know.
When I started working for the town here, I went through two cars in the first year.
Wow.
The first one was an old S10 pickup. Started rolling down the hill.
Another one was an old police cruiser that caught fire on Fire Street.
What apartment was that?
Remind me not to get in a car with Joe.
Really?
And the car that we had before got stuck in the mud and had to be pulled out with chains by the Public Works Department. So, yeah, there's all sorts of fun stories about town vehicles. But that one actually served us well for a long time.
Well, thank you for your report.
Do you want to recognize the new liaison?
Yep, we will move on to other business. The first is we have a new liaison to town council.
Oh,
Joe. Hey, Joe. Joe Jeskowitz. Yeah.
This is Councilor Jeskowitz.
I'm amazed at the work you do, because I'm sitting back here with my head spinning. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I will learn.
All right, bye-bye.
I'm going to come and see us. Sit down with you. I'm going to go and I already talked about what I would like to get.
Yes.
All this thing so I can go over the projects. Mm-hmm. I know if somebody asks me what we're doing. Okay, that's what I would do. Expect that. Thank you, everybody up there. I'm the commissioner. It's a heck of a job. It's a great business situation where they call up our
Thank you. We look forward to seeing you at our meetings. I have an item of other business. We would like to recognize Liz.
Aww.
It's been.
Don't make me cry.
Oh, no, we won't. Happy spring.
Oh, thank you.
Some flowers.
Thank you, Stacey, for putting everything together.
Aww, thank you. All right.
I just want to say publicly and loudly.
I'm going to cry. Don't make me cry. Make sure you even cry the other day.
I just want to say publicly and loudly, it's been a great couple years with you. It was too short, but I am very happy with the veracity with which we have gotten through things here. And we're going to miss you, but we're very glad that you're working for the region in general. And you better answer your phone when I call.
I absolutely will. I have contact.
Yeah, I know where she lives in New London.
Yeah, everyone knows how to find me.
Yeah. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
No, thank you. And
like,
yeah,
perfect.
I don't want to, I get choked up. So thank you.
All right. With that said, we have no executive session. Are there any announcements to be made before adjourning? All right. Hearing none, I declare the meeting adjourned. Thank you.
And we got the regulations right here, right?
Considering that's a
And I should have said, I did.